Gettysburg Seminary presents the Seminary Explores podcast. Conversations on faith, art, people, politics, theology, life, and more. With voices from around the corner and around the globe.
Welcome to the Seminary Explores. This is your host, Don Redman, and I have with me today Robert Beach, a wet plate photographer who served as a resident and artist at the Gettysburg National Military Park during the spring of 2016. Welcome to the Seminary Explorers.
Thank you, Donald.
I'm here. So you are a wet plate photographer, which basically is taking photographs the same way they were done about 150 years ago, correct?
Wet plate photography came in around 1851 and sort of went out of style by the early 1880s. When it was replaced by gelatin dry plates, and then 1888, a fellow by the name of George Eastman invented a roll film, and things went downhill from there.
Okay. So before we get into the details of that particular art form, can you tell us a little bit about your background and what brought you to wet plate photography?
Interesting question, because I have been, for 25 years of my career, I've been in digital imaging. I started off in what was then called computer graphics.
Okay.
And people were amazed that you could do pictures with a computer, and very interested in that. And some people might say I'm a pioneer in that. I started off around 1980,
okay,
doing computer animation and ending up with a 5-year stint at Walt Disney Feature Animation doing visual special effects, digital visual special effects, and then went on to do other things. I'm a sculptor, I do theater, I do all kinds of artistic things. I've always enjoyed analog photography. I started off in the mid-1990s developing my own film.
Okay.
And I worked at a camera store in the early 2000s, at which point we noticed that the sales of the film cameras, the sales of the digital cameras surpassed those of the film cameras. And by the time the place closed up, because you could buy a digital camera at the local Walmart, we could not give away a film camera.
Right.
They gathered dust. And I thought that was kind of disappointing, because I always enjoyed getting my hands into the chemistry and producing prints. A little bit later, I took a workshop on wet plate photography, and was kind of and enticed by it. It was just a weekend workshop and goes over the very bare bones of what was involved with it. And then a little bit later on, I was able to purchase equipment from a gentleman who was retiring from the business, and I've been learning it ever since.
Okay.
Been with it for about 3 years, and there's still a whole lot to learn.
Right, right. Very good. So, and again, before we get into the real details of the, and I hate to use the word low tech, so I think we'll call it historic tech art of wet plate photography. I want to talk a little bit about being a artist in residence and that experience with you. I've noticed in some of your blog posts and your writing that you say you really like to work out in the open with people, so they can see what you're doing. And why is this important to you?
I'm a teacher. I have a teaching degree from Michigan, where I'm from, and I notice that a lot of the wet plate photographers I see working at the Civil War reenactments would take their picture or make the exposure and then disappear into a little back room and then come out with the finished product, and that's not how I work. Whenever possible, I do my work out in front of everyone.
Okay.
I get the plates out. I explain the process as I'm doing it. I will pour the chemistry on the plate, sensitize the plate, and then it has to be sensitized for about 3 minutes.
Okay.
And then I will get the person posed wherever they want, in front of a background or in front of a historic sculpture or structure or wherever. And then by the time those 3 minutes are up, I will go get the sensitized plate, make the exposure, then develop the plate. And then a wet plate is unique in that the final part of the process can be done in normal daylight,
okay,
which is fixing the plate.
Right.
The plate comes out of the developer. It looks like a bluish negative.
Okay.
That negative is then put into a tray, and the fixer is poured onto it, and then it blossoms into a positive
right
before your very eyes.
And what are people's reactions to seeing that happen?
I've gotten a couple of cools, a couple of wows, a couple of gasps, the usual thing.
Right. What do you see as your role as an artist in residence? How do you perceive your role?
At the time of this recording, I've only been working in there a week, so I'm a little unclear as to that.
Okay.
At the time of this recording, I've been working like crazy because I'm under a tight deadline. I had a museum presentation to be done 3 weeks into the residency, and so I have 2 weeks. I had 2 weeks to prepare. So, and I'm not nearly there yet. So it's been mostly working. I work out in the field. I'm recreating a lot of the post-battlefield images.
Okay.
And getting as many as I can that would look significant. A lot of people have done the pictures with the then and the now images.
Right.
But as to my knowledge, I don't know of anyone who's done it, the now pictures, using the same technology and the same vintage equipment and the same printing processes as were done then. So to eliminate as many variables as possible, you know, color, digital,
right,
or film, or shot, whatever, I'm trying to recreate that as closely as I can possibly do it to get a better idea of what the then looks like,
right,
versus the now.
Right. Okay, very good. Well, I guess, what is the most common interaction that you have with people? Is there a typical interaction that most of your things fall under?
Generally, I just explain the process and talk about digital photography versus wet plate,
mm-hmm,
versus film. A lot of older people will say, oh, well, it was just like film was. And the younger visitors will say, oh, that's nice. What's film?
Right. And with your experience, not just at Gettysburg, but in other events you've attended, what's maybe your most unusual experience with?
I'm doing a lot of my shooting down in the Devil's Den and the Slaughter Pen area.
Okay.
Because that's where most of the dramatic corpse pictures were taken from. Also, it's the most identifiable from then and now because of the rocks. The rocks don't move in 150 years,
right,
although they will weather and age and split more, and the ground level will change. Most satisfying experience I've been having so far is when I can point out the then images and say, well, this rock here in the picture is this rock over here over your left-hand shoulder, and this rock over here, and you see is that rock over there, and there was a dead body over here and a dead body over here, and oops, watch your feet, you're stepping on one over here. And then I will end it up, if I'm in the area, there's the Alfred Woad picture. It shows the sketch artist Alfred Woad sitting on a rock. It's right down there in Devil's Den. It's quite noticeable. And I will show that quite clear image and point other people to the rock. And then I will hold a poster of the image with Woad sitting in that position. And they will get up on the rock and take that position and hold the picture. And then they'll take their Instagram pictures, digital pictures, and have a really good souvenir to take home with them.
Okay, very good. Well, let's get into the technology a little bit here. And can you just walk us through the process of wet plate photography from when you've got your equipment kind of set up, you've got it out of your car and set up, and what happens?
First, you start with a, for making a tintype, you start with a metal plate.
Okay.
Today, we use Trophy aluminum. It is a black coated piece of aluminum with a plastic sheet on it. And to make it ready, I just need to tear off the plastic sheet, and I have a perfectly clean surface ready to go.
Okay.
Back in the day, as reenactors are like to say, it would have been a commercially produced black lacquered iron plate.
Okay.
These are no longer commercially available. You'd have to make your own, and it's something I'm not quite willing to do because the aluminum plate works almost as well.
Right.
The first step is collodion is poured onto the metal plate.
Okay.
Collodion is a mixture of nitrocellulose cotton, typically referred to as gun cotton, dissolved in ether and alcohol with some metallic salts added to it. It is very volatile, mm-hmm. almost explosive.
Sounds that way.
One needs to be careful. You don't smoke around the stuff. The ether and the alcohol evaporate very quickly. Usually within a few couple of seconds, the liquid collodion will turn into a gel.
Okay.
At that point, it is ready to be dropped into the silver nitrate bath.
Okay.
And sensitized for 3 minutes.
Okay.
The silver nitrate bath is just that. It is silver that has been dissolved in nitric acid, which ends up to be a very expensive metallic salt, costs about $1 a gram.
Okay.
And is reactive with almost everything, including human skin, and it degrades everything.
Yeah, my question is, do the stains actually ever come off your fingers? Or
They wear off.
Okay.
They wear off, but only after a period of not using it.
Right.
So these are going to be on here for the... were on here for another 3 weeks or so, as long as I'm going to be working on it.
Right.
During the 3 minutes, I usually will give a spiel of the history and whatever questions they might have to answer,
mm-hmm.
Guests would like to have answered. This is for getting a portrait done.
Right.
And I would use that 3 minutes usually to get them posed where I need them to pose, get... And depending upon where the light is, where the sun is, whether it's cloudy or sunny. And then I will keep them in that position. I will run back to the dark room,
right.
Portable dark box, take the plate out of the silver, clean off the backside of it, and place it into a special holder called a plate holder. The plate holder keeps the light away from the plate until I'm ready. The plate holder will then go back to the location I'm shooting. It fits onto the back of the camera.
Okay.
And then I double check to make sure that the lens cap is still intact, still in place.
Right.
I remove what is called a dark slide. It is one side of the, it is the front side of the plate holder that protects light from getting to the plate.
Okay.
That slide is removed, and then I will check one last time the position of the subject.
Right.
Get out my pocket watch, and usually by experience, I know how many seconds the exposure will be, and I'll say hold still, beginning, and then 1001, 1002. I try to keep my exposures down to 6 seconds or less.
Okay.
It's quite simple.
Mm-hmm.
And replace the lens cap, replace the dark slide, take the whole plate holder off the camera, run it back to the dark room.
Okay.
Develop the plate, and then bring it out for fixing to show the people the final step.
Right.
Developing is done by eye. You put it into the, you spread the developer out on the plate, and you watch it.
Okay.
You have to watch it, and depending upon the amount of light there was and the amount of exposure that you have, it should typically start to show up within 5 to 10 seconds.
Okay.
If it's too much exposure, it will come up too soon. If it's too slow, not enough exposure, it won't come up at all.
Okay.
And you have to do it over again.
Right.
And after I fix the plate and they're satisfied with it, I'll collect the person's money, hopefully, mm-hmm. if they're still interested. And then the plate needs to be dried, usually under a flame. Okay. And then important point is the plate is varnished.
Okay.
There's a particular varnish that was used back in the day.
Right.
You use that phrase again, that we put on there, and it will. And then once the varnish is put on, we dry that again, usually under flame.
Okay.
And then it is good for 150 years.
I was going to ask how long they last. So 150 years.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And that's
that we know of.
Even being exposed to light, it's fine once it's...
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
So it doesn't fade like some papers and things do. So.
No. No. That's the point I sometimes have to say to guests. Because they will... Parents will sometimes tell their children, look at all the work it took to produce this picture, just a single picture, and look how easy it is today with our digital smartphones. We can go click, click, click.
Mm-hmm.
And I tell them, very nice, click, click, click is very nice and convenient. Where will your pictures be in 150 years?
Right.
Will your great-grandchildren know how to read them? Will they be able to find them? Will there be equipment out there to discern what those ones and zeros are,
right,
to do that. And today, if only a couple of years ago, if you stored your pictures on a CD-ROM,
mm-hmm,
most digital devices, handheld devices, don't have a CD-ROM drive in them anymore, so you have,
right,
to find something like that. Heaven forbid you should have put them onto a floppy disk or a tape,
right,
or any other earlier type of storage medium, because... Or if you shot your film, your home movies on VHS tape, mm-hmm, and then, oh, where do we find a VHS tape player and transfer that? And it's changing technology is going to, you're going to lose it.
Yes, very true, very true. What do you find most rewarding about this process for you personally?
The challenges.
Mm-hmm.
The challenges. There are about a million ways that wet play can go wrong.
Right.
Usually it will go wrong when somebody's watching. The chemistry can go bad.
Mm-hmm.
The light can be too strong. There can be a light leak someplace. Sometimes the plate holder will pop open at the wrong time.
Right.
And some places, and sometimes one was just had to start back at square one and try to produce a black plate, which means you pour the plate, you put it in the plate holder, you take it outside into the sun, and you walk back in, and it should get nothing. You should be able to get a black plate.
Okay.
That's how I discovered sometimes I was getting light leaks from either the plate holder or some light was coming up from underneath the tent,
right,
in my dark room, and then you eliminate one step at a time.
Right.
And there's lots of ways it can go wrong.
Right. As somebody who spent a lot of time in digital media and electronic artistic endeavors, did you have to change your mindset to approach this endeavor?
This is physical. Anything digital, it has to deal with programming. It's ones and zeros. I have a lot of appreciation for Photoshop.
Mm-hmm.
Thing you can do a lot of things in Photoshop very easily that you cannot do easily in a dark room, that are impossible to do with wet play.
Right.
And then again, I have a particular pet peeve of software that is supposed to make a digital image look like a wet plate.
Right.
Some sort of digital filter that will blur it out or do something odd. And why bother? Why just get a real wet plate done?
Right. Now, since you're replicating what photographers did 150 years ago, I'm wondering, in your perception at least, and maybe you've read some journals or accounts from photographers of the time, but are there things that maybe you have easier than they did, or things that maybe they were easier for them than they are for you now?
Not really. I think they had it a little bit easier than,
really?
Than we have today.
In what way?
Well, you had ready-made plates, for one thing. You had for doing printing, you had what's called albumen paper, albumenized paper. It's a high quality, usually a rag paper that has egg whites saturated into it,
okay,
which was the basis for a lot of the prints that you see here and around Gettysburg. They're all done on albumen paper. That's not available anymore.
Right.
You have to make it yourself.
Okay.
You have to make a lot of things yourself because there's just nobody does it anymore. The other thing is, given the problems involved, especially with the post-battlefield photography down here, they were extremely good. They were extremely good when you consider the heat, you consider the smell of rotting everything and the rain, and it's amazing they were able to get images at all.
Right.
And just yesterday I was out on part of the slaughter pen and I was lugging a 25-pound 8x10 camera over rocks.
Right.
And yes, there's a thrill of getting exactly the right shot from the same place and the same angle, but then I realized I was probably running over the same rocks, lugging the same equipment.
Yep.
And I'm wondering, there's no record of it, how far away did they have to put their dark box?
Right.
It's called wet plate for a reason. From the time that the plate comes out of the silver nitrate to the time it has to be developed, the plate has to stay wet.
Okay.
If it dries out, it loses its sensitivity.
Okay.
And how fast it'll dry out is dependent upon the humidity and the weather.
Sure.
Warmth, heat.
Yeah, we know a film of water does not last long in heat.
So. No. And they were able to do pretty much very good stuff.
Right.
There's pictures you might see online of the Rose Farm. You see Alexander Gardner's darkroom wagon, mm-hmm. in the background.
Okay.
That's what he used. So that may be 20, 40, 50 feet away.
Right.
You're talking about disadvantages. I don't have a wagon.
Right.
I have a box that weighs about 50 pounds that I'm going to have to lug over to the Rose Farm from the nearest nearest road, which is I'm not looking forward to doing, but I will do it sometime soon.
Well, on the plus side, you don't have horses to feed, though. So.
Neither did Gardner. There was a hired wagon.
Oh, okay. Well, there you go. That's the way to do it. We're getting ready to wrap up here, and I'm just wondering, as we look at the way photography has evolved over the years, and the public's relationship to photography. 150 years ago, photography was not something that was a very special event. If you had a family photograph made or something, that was
a
very special event. And today, I mean, we can literally take a dozen images in a second on a cell phone. How do you perceive the public's appreciation of photography?
There is no public appreciation for photography now. It is so common and so easy to do, I don't think people appreciate what it meant. Back in the 1850s, when this got started, it was a major event in someone's life to get their photograph taken. Back then, you would maybe get a half a dozen photographs done of you in your entire lifetime.
Right.
And we're talking portraits here.
Mm-hmm.
And another interesting thing are the memento mori pictures. These were pictures of dead children.
Okay.
We shock and revulsion about this today. Oh, why would you want to do something like that? Does a dead child? Well, there's no other way to preserve a record of what that child looked like.
Right.
So you have pictures of these twin children where one twin is alive and is standing behind what appears to be a sleeping twin brother or sister,
right.
And that brother or sister is not sleeping, they're dead.
Right.
And, you know, we think, we scratch our heads and you can't fathom that, doing something like that today, but no, when you only have, if it's a young child, it might not have ever been photographed before.
Right.
And you want to preserve what that child looked like, because your memory is going to fade.
Right.
We talk about other things. We talk about the battlefield pictures.
Mm-hmm.
That's an entire subject in and of itself. We can talk for a half an hour, but we're not going to. I'll give you the Reader's Digest condensed version. Shortly after Antietam in, where was that, August 61 or September 61?
Okay.
Something like that. My mind escapes me right
now. That's okay.
Matthew Brady sent his team down to Antietam, and they photographed dead Union and Confederate soldiers. This is pretty much for the first time anyone had ever done that. When the plates and the prints got made somewhat later, they were displayed at Matthew Brady's gallery as portraits of the dead, images of the dead at Antietam. No one had ever seen dead American and Confederate, dead American soldiers before.
Right.
That's something we don't do even today now.
Right.
We're not allowed to. It's up until that time, war was considered to be heroic and virtuous, and there was no virtue in this. Corpses that had been sitting out and not yet buried after 3 or 4 days,
right,
bloated and half eaten by hogs. It changed people's perception of war in general, and that was all due to photography.
Well, I think that we've seen that as a key role for photography through the years is to really bring things into our awareness that if we don't have firsthand experience, we don't get to see.
And you know, compare and contrast that today. You can't, soldiers that are out on the battlefields in the Middle East, they can't take pictures of dead American soldiers and email them back. They'd be court-martialed.
Right.
We don't allow that. We don't allow pictures of caskets anymore because it wouldn't be correct anymore.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, we've been speaking with Robert Beach, wet plate photographer and artist in residence at Gettysburg National Military Park during the spring of 2016. I'd like to thank you for joining us today. It's been a wonderful conversation, and we hope you enjoy the rest of your residency.
My pleasure, sir.
Thank you.
You have been listening to The Seminary Explores from historic Seminary Ridge in Gettysburg, Pennsylvania, a production of Gettysburg Seminary. We invite you to visit our website at www.ltsg.edu. Opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of Gettysburg Seminary or the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America.